Mountain Gap Church welcomes you to join us as we share this kingdom message of hope, featuring our pastor, Rick Womack.
He was despised and rejected and forsaken by men, a man of sorrows and pains and acquainted with grief and sickness, and like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we did not appreciate him, his worth, or have any esteem for him. But Jesus identifies with us. The suffering and the pain. He understands what that means. Randy Whitley, and I'm so thankful that it was Randy Whitley and not somebody else. And he looked at me and he said, Rick Womack, we had not seen each other for, probably 15 years, maybe 12 to 15 years. And then before that, we actually worked together 24 years ago at a distribution center. I was right out of college, and the Lord brought him into my life, and we were close friends for the year or a little bit more I was there at Duckhead. It was a Duckhead distribution center. And we were close brothers and just walking with the Lord. And Randall, it was just like we had never missed a beat. It was just so cool to pick up and talk about our family, and now he's going to be a grandparent. And just all those things and what the Lord is doing. So God just has a way of reminding you that you're special and that you're one of his favorites. And here's what's really cool. I'm not just stalling. I really have a point to this story. Are we there yet? Okay, good. I'm still not stalling. I do have a point. Randy told me, he said, it's so funny people say this. He said, you know, I keep up with you on the Facebook. Okay, so you get that. So he keeps up with me on Facebook. And he said, you know, I don't put a lot out there, but I pray for you. I was like, really? He said, yeah. He said, and my pastor told me a long time ago, you don't tell somebody you're going to pray for them unless you really are going to pray for them. He said, so I pray for you. It's like, wow. Here's this brother who we were both from Florida. We both had similar interests. We both loved soccer. We both coached soccer. We both played soccer. We both loved Ultimate Frisbee. We both worked hard at our job. We both loved the Lord. At that time, we didn't have any children. And the Lord has had this guy praying for me for at least 24 years. I'm like, God, how cool is that? That you would do that, that you would put someone on assignment to pray for me. We're in the season of Christmas, and I want to look at a topic that the Lord has put on my heart about 3 or 4 weeks ago. For the next few weeks, I don't really know how long, maybe 1, 2, 3, or 4, we'll see. I want to preach on healing. Now, I want to be very transparent. The Lord has only used me maybe once or twice to lay hands on the sick and see them healed, okay? I don't claim to have that spiritual gift which the New Testament talks about. But what I do claim to know is that the New Testament makes it available for us to walk in the fullness of that gift. And so these next few weeks, I want us to look at the topic of healing. And today I started last week kind of laying some foundation. If you didn't listen to last week's message, I don't know that we got it recorded. I think we actually did not. But I'm happy to share those notes with you. But this week is really going to be a foundation of the promise and the provision for healing. There is promise and there is provision that is available for healing. Let me go back over just a couple of things. Last week we talked about that's not my media. What's it called? Encounter Weekend Media. Pull up, look on that jump drive. There's a file called Healing Week 1. So now I'm out of stories, and I don't have anything else to stall. My football team lost yesterday. If your football team lost, put your hand up. Man, bunch of losers. Just kidding. Give me a thumbs up when you got it. So last week we looked at a couple of stories in Matthew chapter 8. There are two healings that take place in the first dozen or so verses, a little bit more. And one of those is, if you have your Bible, you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 8, verse 2. Or if you use a Bible app, go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 2. There we go. That's more like it. I'm going to have it on the screen for you here. And it says simply this: a man with leprosy came. I don't know how that eye got in there. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him. The him is Jesus. And he said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And so I'm going to do a real quick summary of last week, because you need to catch this. You need to understand that Jesus wants to heal. Okay? How do I know that? Because the man with leprosy said, if you are willing, you can. You can make me clean. Jesus, it's not a question of his ability to heal. It's a question of whether or not we can receive it, and he chooses to heal. The leper came to him and said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So the first thing I want us to understand is that God desires to help you in your place of limitation. Whatever that limitation is in life. For me, and people have prayed for me, and they still pray for me, and I welcome it. Most of you know that I'm deaf in this ear. I'm not being stuck up, I just don't hear you. If you're over here, hey Rick, I just don't know, okay? I can tune into my wife's voice, and for that, she's very thankful, and so am I. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? You can tune out too, but just, I don't advise that. But God desires to heal every portion of your life. The limitations that you have on your life, that place of disease or that place of sickness, the leper never had a doubt that Jesus could do a miracle. And in verse 3, I don't have it up there, Jesus' response is this: I'm willing. I am willing. The second passage of Scripture, it's a little bit longer in Matthew chapter 8. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. This is another situation. And Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? And the centurion replied, and he said, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word. Everybody say the word. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. He understood the layers of authority. He was under authority, and he had soldiers under him. For I am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. I just find that so mind-blowing, that Jesus' mind was blown. It says Jesus was amazed, you guys. Okay, that sounded like New York. Y'all, it says Jesus was amazed. Jesus was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I've not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. So the second thing we need to understand, the first thing is that God wants to touch those places of your life where you need healing, those places of limitation. Don't hold back. The second thing is this: we have to have an understanding of authority. This man, you could put it this way, he got it. He understood that he was a man under authority, and so that if he was a man under authority, if his authority is here, let me just stand right here. I'm going to stand here. If his authority is up here on the top, he was a man under authority, but he also had men that were under his authority. Now let's take that picture and let's change it up a little bit. There is a man that is standing in this man's presence. This man is Jesus. And this man is standing under his authority, and he understands that the thing that's under his authority and under his authority is able to be cleansed and healed. All he has to do is say the word. Now this, we're going to talk about it in weeks to come. This comes, we get into this whole, I want to be careful because I don't want to disparage any of our brothers in healing or faith movements. I don't want to do that. I don't want to throw water on anything. But at the same time, I want us to stop praying things like this. Are you ready? I'm ready. Lord, if it's your will for you, for me to be healed. Why do we pray that? Let me flip that question over. Do we pray that way about salvation? Lord, if it's your will, let me be saved. This is not in my notes. This is just a teachable moment. What I realize as a pastor is that I come in here on Sunday morning and I try my best to deliver what the Lord wants. And sometimes, like last week, I go, well, and the world just happened. And that just happens to me, okay? And then sometimes, most of the time, what inevitably happens is someone comes up to me and says, that word was exactly for me. And I just say, okay, Lord, I'm glad you knew what you were doing. And what I've come to realize is this. I'm only responsible for the delivery, for the standing in the gap part of it. God is responsible for the outcome. God is responsible to stir your heart, to prepare your mind, to make you ready to receive the word that the Lord has put on my heart or on someone else's heart that stands in here or is leading us in worship. God is responsible. I'm not responsible for that part. Because if I'm responsible for that part, then I'll take the credit for it. What's the same thing with healing? I'm the intercessor. I'm the one that's responsible to stand in the gap and pray for the healing. And we see this transition. We're going to get into it probably next week. And this transition from Jesus to the early church, there's a shift from power ministry where Jesus comes in Acts or Matthew chapter 8, the first part. He lays his hand. He touches the leper. He touches them. You don't touch lepers. Sorry, I'm not calling you a leper, man. He touches them. And he's healed. And then later on in Matthew, we just see it there. He speaks the word and he's healed. We see this transition when we get into Acts in the New Testament, where there's a responsibility that shifts to the church. And you know what our responsibility is? It's to pray. It's to pray. And to not stop praying. I have laid hands on the sick, I've never seen like limbs grow out, I have seen that, not by me praying, but I've seen that happen. I've seen fingers grow. I've heard stories of people who've been raised from the dead. I've never seen that. I want to see it. I really do. But I've laid hands on people before, and I felt the sudden and just the presence of the Lord just go through my body into their body and just they're healed. I felt fever leave a person. And that's not me. I don't take the credit for that. All I got to do is just stand there. But you know what? That's once or twice. Most of the time, I don't see it right away. But I don't need to stop. I don't need to stop praying. I need to, in the words of the wonderful 80s band, don't stop believing. Everybody's got the song going through their head. Don't stop believing. I got to continue to press in and believe God that He is able and He will do it. All right, that's just a recap. All right. Verse 13, it says this. Do I have it up there? I don't. It says this. Jesus said to the centurion, this is the summary just so I don't leave you hanging about what happened. Jesus spoke to him. He said, go. Let it be done just as you believed. And his servant was healed at that moment. Will you stand with me? I want to read a few verses. I want to ask you just to follow along on the screen. These are the verses I'm going to focus on this morning. I don't have a lot of points. I mean, like 3 points in a poem. Sometimes I preach that way, but not this morning. This morning we're going to look at a passage in the prophet Isaiah's book in chapter 53. And we're going to read 12 of them or look at them together, but I'm going to focus on about 4 or 5. The prophet says, who has believed our message and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He, speaking of the suffering servant, this is a messianic psalm that is pointing to Jesus. Okay, and New Testament writers reflect this psalm in their writings. He would be the Messiah, grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hid their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Verse 12, therefore I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong. Because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and he made intercession for the transgressors. Let me go back, just stay standing for another moment. Let me look at just a couple of verses. He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of the dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering, familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem, and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. Let me pray. Father, give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit would say to us today. Thank you, Lord, that you and your sacrifice are sufficient. Thank you, God, that you made a way for us to have access and relationship with you. I pray for the heart of every person today, right now. I pray that every person that hears this message, first of all, will embrace the truth of your word. They will have the faith to believe, and that, Father, we will walk in the fullness of everything you have for us. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Here's the big idea today. This is just kind of taking everything that I want to say and putting it into one summary statement. Jesus took the place of the guilty sinners, and he paid the price. Healing was paid in full for, has been paid in full. Verse 2 says this, he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like the root out of the dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire. Verse 2 deals with Jesus or the Messiah's origin and his appearance. Where does he grow up? He grows up in a place against all odds. One could think of Israel as a place against all odds. It seems like Israel has always been a place against all odds. And the Messiah would come from a place against all odds. I think I saw that we are on day number 50 or 51 in the Macon area since we've had rain. So we understand what it means to have dry ground, right? And the prophet Isaiah is saying that the suffering servant, the Messiah, would come in a place where there's going to be a drought. He's going to come forth from that dry ground as a tender shoot, a root coming out of dry ground. This is not exactly the type of royalty that we expect for a king, is it? The Messiah is described as ambiguous, kind of concealed, unassuming. As far as I know, dry ground is not fertile ground. Usually we don't find beautiful, lush plants growing in an area where there is no water. And that's where our Messiah would come from. He would come from, that would be his place of origin. And then the second thing we see is, what does he look like? He had no beauty. He had no majesty that would attract us to him. So unlike David and unlike Saul, both of whom were leaders that attracted others to their following based on their appearance, this man would not be someone who would attract people. It's so funny how it's still today, it's still so true. We just came through an ugly political season where people remarked about how one another looked. Really? That's how we're going to choose our leaders now? Come on now. I mean, is that the basis of where we're going to start now? Kind of the same in the day of Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus, the one who's despised, the one who has no beauty, or the one who has no majesty, the one who has no reason to attract me to him, but he's the one I want. So there's three things. He has no beauty, he has no majesty, and then the other thing is there's nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. So when we look at this man, this Messiah coming from Israel, why would we choose him? And how different are we today? In today's culture where image is everything. Am I right? I'm really just, and look, I've been to some of the largest churches in the U.S. And I've got friends that pastor pretty large churches. And my friends, I know they're, and some of them, I'm not going to knock any of them, okay? I don't want to knock any. But here's what I want to knock. If I'm going to knock someone, I'm going to knock this right here. You ready? I'm going to knock the fact that we choose our pastor based on what he looks like. Or we choose where we go because they do a good show. Uh-oh. Or we go to this church because they have 13 campuses all around Dallas or Atlanta or Chicago or wherever. I don't have anybody in mind right now, just so you wonder, if you're wondering. And it's based on what? It's based on the man. I don't want Mountain Gap Church. I don't want to be that man where it's all about the man. It's just not. It can't be. It's got to be about the man, Jesus. Nothing in Jesus should attract. But we have this celebrity culture right now. It's nauseating. I digress. I wonder if our servant had appeared according to modern day criteria, would he be desirable? You know what I'm saying? One commentator put it this way. He said, deliverers are dominating, forceful, attractive people who by their personal magnetism draw people to themselves. People who refuse to follow that leadership frequently find themselves crushed and tossed away. This man does not fit that picture. He doesn't. He was humble, meek. Oh, he could be angered. And we know that. But he understood what it was to suffer and to put others first. And I think at the heart of healing, this is probably going to get a week or two ahead where I wanted to say, but I think at the heart of the healing message that God has for us through his son Jesus is that it is God wanting to demonstrate his mercy toward us. Because at the end of the day, folks, you and I don't deserve it. I don't deserve to be healed. I know God has healed me. He healed me of vestibulopathy. What is vestibulopathy? I used to wake up with like crazy inner ear spinning room stuff. And so I took an antihistamine for a while. And it helped. And I finally reached the place where I was like, you know what, Lord? I'm just going to believe that you have healed me. Amen. Nobody came and laid hands on me. Nobody, I mean, they did at some point, but I didn't feel the jolt. You understand what I mean? I didn't feel the warmth. I didn't get the fuzzies. I didn't get the goosebumps. People prayed for me. People prayed for me in my church. People that I work with prayed for me. But at some point, I just decided, Lord, I'm going to walk in what's mine. Now, that was me, and I'm not advising you to do that. You do what the Lord wants you to do. But understand something. This healing that God benefited me with, I absolutely don't deserve it. It's only because of His mercy. What is His mercy? It's His love and His compassion in action toward those. Verse 3, He was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. What does that mean, despised and rejected? It means He was quickly dismissed, not even considered. A man of suffering, familiar with pain. Wait, it gets worse. It says, like one for whom, do I have the right one? Like one from whom people hid their faces, He was despised, and we held Him in low esteem. And it should stop right there. I had a feeling earlier when I was reading that was incorrect. That starting right there, down, should not be there. That's verse 3 right there. So, copy and paste. I was on my second cup of coffee this morning. The third one is right up here. I should have done it after that. It gets worse. He was rejected. People hid their faces. He was despised. The Amplified Version puts it this way. He was despised and rejected and forsaken by men, a man of sorrows and pains and acquainted with grief and sickness, and like one from whom men hide their faces, He was despised, and we did not appreciate Him, His worth, or have any esteem for Him. But Jesus identifies with us. The suffering and the pain, He understands what that means. Verse 4, let me just go on. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered Him punished by God, stricken by Him and afflicted. He took up our pain and He bore our suffering. What does that mean? New King James Version says, He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. What does that mean? What does it mean that Jesus took up our grief, our pain, our suffering? He bore our sorrows. What does it mean that Jesus took up sickness and strep throat? It means that Jesus put on everything. I hope I don't tear anybody's clothes. This green one's not working. I'm sorry. Who gave me the green one? Y'all like my scarf? I'm not sure who it belongs to, but it smells really good. And it does not smell like a man, so I'm hoping I don't smell like a woman when I'm done with this. What does it mean that Jesus took up our sorrow? I know it's inside out. It means that Jesus took those things that didn't really fit us. Like the sickness. Jacob, you think I can get a couple more on? His eyes are like huge right now. Like when Jesus says, I took up your pain and your suffering. He says, I took up your sickness. He says, I took up your heartache. He took up those things that don't fit you. They don't belong on you. No more than this pretty smelling scarf belongs on me. Or this tiny oh, this is just a little sickness here. This is just a little head cold. Jesus took it up. How far is this going to go, Rick? We about there. I dropped one. I don't know that I can pick it up. We just make sure we get the right one last. Just saying. You like this? Now look at it again. Jesus took up our pain and our suffering. Are you taking a picture of your dad? I had the feeling because I saw the cell phone. I want to see it when you're done. Don't Snapchat it. Send it to me. I saw a meme. Y'all know what a meme is? It's like an internet comic thing. And I quickly identified with it, you know. It's like, I'm trying to remember it. I'm too old for AARP, but too young for Snapchat. So I'm kind of in the between there. The young folks have no idea what AARP is. Look, I know this is ridiculous. And I know I look goofy. And my daughter, Alyssa, you want to come up here and give your dad a hug? Come on. Y'all think Alyssa should come up and give me a hug? Come on, they want a picture of you and I together. George is going to get it. Come here. Totally unscripted. She had no idea I was doing this morning. Come here. Look at George. Awesome. My wife is in the nursery. She has no idea this is happening right now. Unless y'all send her a picture. But hopefully she won't know because she's tending babies. Guys, let me just tell you something. This is getting hot. And this is getting heavy. And I don't have to carry it. Because the scripture tells me that Jesus took up our pain and our suffering. So when I'm in mental anguish, I need to remember, I don't have to wear that. Jesus wore that. When I'm dealing with a bad report from the doctor, I don't have to remember, I don't have to wear that. Jesus wore that for me. Jesus said, oh, come over here, Randall, and you know that thing you've been carrying around? I know it's weighing you down, brother. I know it's making you tired, but you don't have to carry it anymore. I'm going to carry it for you. Yet we considered him punished by God. I don't know how I get out of this. Anybody want help? You know what's amazing is I thought this thing through from start to sermon, but from sermon to finish, I did not think it through. Thank you, brother. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I made it a mess of your coats up here. Y'all have been great today. And hopefully you'll remember this. Because we have a promise. Our Messiah came to put on everything that we're not supposed to carry. He came to carry it for you. He came to carry it. So the anxiety that you deal with, he came to carry it. The peace that you need in the midst of the storm right now, he came to carry it. The sickness or the illness. Listen, I don't understand. But Pastor Rick, why haven't I been healed? I don't know the answer to that. All I know is that he came to carry it. He came to carry it. And if he came to carry it, I want him to carry it because I don't want to have to carry it. And if he came to carry it, I've got to give it to him and I've got to give it to him. And if I got to keep giving it to him, I'm going to keep giving it to him. Griefs. It says, New King James Version, I should have put that one up there. Surely he has borne our griefs. That refers to disease, sickness, physical pain. He has borne our griefs and he has carried our sorrows. What is sorrows? It's the mental pain. It's the mental anguish that we will face in this life. This verse links our suffering servant to the cross. Watch this. Watch what Peter says. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Verse 5 says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. There's two things that we get out of this. We get peace. And the second thing we get is we get healing. The punishment. Whose punishment was that? It was mine. And it was yours. But that punishment that brought us peace, God said, I'm going to put it on him, on Jesus. That punishment that you deserve, that you deserve and you deserve and you deserve, all of us deserve that punishment. All of us in this room, ain't nobody good enough. You deserve it. But God, in his mercy and in his love, he says, I am going to take that punishment off of you and I'm going to put it on my son Jesus, whom I love, and he is going to be the perfect sacrifice. And that punishment will give you what you need. What do we need greater than peace in this world right now? We need peace. And by his wounds, the second thing, you are healed. Spiritual and physical healing are available. I want to ask the worship team to come back up this morning. You guys get ready to play whatever you want to play. You can play Don't Stop Believing if you like. Just hold on to that feeling. I never understood the street lights people part, though, I'll be honest with you. Here's the deal, folks. I want to try to package this thing up, wrap it up. And I want to say this to us this morning. We serve the same God that sent his son to die to bring us peace. We serve the same God who took all of that sickness, all of that iniquity, all of that rebellion, all of that ache, all of that illness, all of that disease. He put it on his son. We serve that same God. And here's the deal. Jesus walked the face of this earth and he laid hands on the sick. He touched the leper. He spoke the word and the centurion's servant was healed. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He preached the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is present. I'm not entirely sure why the Lord has me preaching this series. It's a weird sermon series for December, for Christmas. But I just know I have to do what the Lord put in my heart to do, and that is to bring this truth to you in this moment in time. You need to understand something. And look, we've got medical people here today. I'm not against doctors, and they know that. Some of my closest friends are doctors. Some of my closest intercessors have been doctors. I'm not against that. But at the end of the day, and this is, if I come and visit you in the hospital or I call you and you're going to have a procedure, this is often what I'm going to pray. Lord, I thank you for the doctors and the nurses. I thank you for their ability and their technology. I thank you for medical advances. But at the end of the day, God, we know that you are our healer. And so, Lord, we rejoice for all of that. Because you can use any of it and you may use all of it. The same Jesus. Everybody say that. This same Jesus. Now, I want you to listen to yourself say it. Just say it again, however you want to say it. Say it again. The writer of Hebrews gives us this promise. He said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. So let me go back to where I started this morning. Number one, actually, let me cover that one more time. Verse 12. I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession
for the transgressors. Do you understand what that means? That transgressors part is talking about how we were in rebellion or how we are in rebellion. And it's the writer is saying, Isaiah is saying that he is the one who is interceding. He had made intercession for the transgressors. In other words, he stood in between that place where you are and that place where God is. And he said, all of the sin, all of the rebellion, all of the iniquity, I'm going to take it upon myself. And he made the way. You can't give enough. You can't throw your hands up enough. You can't kneel down enough. You can't serve enough. You can't be good enough. You can't dress well enough. You can't make enough money. You can't make not enough money to learn or to know the love and the favor of God any more or any less. It's the same. So here's the deal. He can make you clean. Man with leprosy came to him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. He understood something. He understood Jesus had the ability to touch him in his place of illness. The second thing is this. The centurion says, just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. So here's the deal, folks. This is really simple. The Son of God came to take the place of you and I, to take all of the sin, all of the sickness, all of the brokenness, all of the heartache, all of the mental anguish. If you're struggling in your mind, I have been there. If you're in a season right now where you just can't seem to sleep, it's a mental struggle right now, maybe the Lord needs to heal your mind. I've been there. I've been in that place. If you're in a place where there's physical hurt or pain in your body, maybe the Lord wants to heal you. What's the worst that can happen? Right? I mean, we pray about it, right? But here's the deal. I'm going to close with this. Stand with me. I'm going to need, if you have, the Lord has ever used you with the gift of faith or the gift of healing, I really want to ask you to come down first and be prepared to pray with people. If the Lord has ever used you, the gift of faith or the gift of healing, okay? I know I'm being very specific and that's really unusual. I want to ask you to come down. Come on down. Thank you, Constance. Others, if the Lord has used you with the gift of faith or the gift of healing, I want to ask you to come down and let the Lord use you in this time, because we want to pray for those who God needs to heal. God needs to heal some people, I believe, and these people are here for you to come to and pray for. It doesn't matter the disease, this same Jesus. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But folks, let me talk to the intercessors for a minute. Guys, we're not praying any if prayers. We don't pray if up here, okay? Lord, heal. Amen? Let me open in prayer. If you would like to, you can come on and step out. You can come after I'm done praying. Father, in this moment, we want to encounter you. God, pour out your Spirit in a way that we've never imagined or experienced, Lord. For God, we know it is your will. You can make us clean. You can make us whole. You can heal that disease. You can touch that place, God, where we need to be touched. And you can renew and you can make whole in Jesus' name. Now, if you need healing in your body, or you know someone who needs healing in your body, I want to hour your mind. I want to ask you to come forward right now.
Today, Mountain Gap Church offers our community Sunday worship and Wednesday night teaching and discipleship classes If you would like further information on times and location, you may find us online at mountaingap.org.